Hello, and thank you for listening to the Hope Canteen Podcast, where we look at readings for the coming Sunday for insight into our walk with Christ. This is our 27th episode. My name is Stephen London, priest at St. Thomas Anglican Church, and joined as always by Associate Priest Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. How are you all today?
All right, yeah, I'm well. Got some Halloween costumes finished this morning, just under the wire. And I actually really love All Saints Day, so I'm glad we get to talk about it today.
Yeah, it's in my old church, or not my old church, but my old church, we used to call this the autumnal triduum. So if you're unfamiliar with that term, usually we say the triduum, the 3 days, is going back to Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. But there also seems to be an interesting match in the autumn because we have the Eve of All Saints, Halloween, if you all know what that word means. Then we have All Saints, and then we actually have All Souls, who remember all the faithful departed. So I always look forward to this time of year as well.
How about you, Michael? How are you?
Yeah, it's been a good week. We're adjusting to the fact that that my wife isn't going to work anymore because of COVID-19. She's decided that it was time for her to stop doing that. She's been working casually beyond her usual time after her retirement, and so we're getting adjusted to a different way of doing life without having to get up very early in the morning.
Well, great. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast, both of you. This week is a little bit different than our normal week. We are celebrating one of the great festivals of the church, All Saints. This is an ancient feast day of the church, originally to celebrate and honor the martyrs of the church. And that's what makes the connection with our reading from Revelation this morning. If you want to pause the podcast to read it before we continue, it's Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. And just a reminder that when we read Revelation, that last book of the Bible, we need to be very careful. It is easy to read it irresponsibly. These are highly symbolic accounts, spiritual realities. And in today's reading, John, the author, is a visionary, and he's given a glimpse into heavenly things. And this time, he sees a host of people crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." John is asked by an elder, "Who are these people?" Well, John has no idea, so he deflects the question, saying, "You are the one who knows." Well, it turns out these are the martyrs of the early church. They are the ones who have been persecuted in the ancient world by the Roman Empire, arrested, tortured, some of them killed. And what John gets to see is that there's a deeper reality than just the violence that is seen in the world. They are in heaven, worshiping God. And quote, "They will hunger no more and thirst no more, and the sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Well, this, of course, is just an overview of the reading, and of course, we want to talk about All Saints as well. We can go much deeper, and I'm so happy that Stephanie and Michael are here to help us do this. So I'm just curious if either of you'd be willing to start. Kind of, what do you notice in the reading, or is there something about All Saints that has always struck you as an interesting festival?
I'm struck by the fact that the talk of the passage, the part of the passage that speaks to me, all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God singing. I'm a singer. And now I go to church, but I'm not allowed to sing. And I feel absolutely deprived because of this, because it's very important that the praise of God is so often accompanied by singing. We go to church and thanks be to God, we have musicians who can play things for us, but they remind us of things that we used to sing, but we can't sing now, and I'm feeling deprived.
That is a beautiful insight, Michael. I had not seen that, but now that you say that, that just speaks to my soul. I love singing as well. It's always interesting in the Eucharistic prayer, in the older one, it always says that when we're celebrating Eucharist, and ideally, yes, we're chanting at this moment, and we are joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. So there is that kind of neat connection between what's going on in our sanctuary and what is going on in heaven.
We have to let them lip sync. We have to lip sync. We can move our lips, but it's the angels that get to do the singing for us.
And I think that's an important observation, that in a sense they are doing the singing for us, that the singing itself hasn't gone away. It's just different voices are taking it up at this moment.
That actually leads me to one of the things I've been pondering as I've been preparing for this podcast. The idea of All Saints to me is that, and this reading as well, is that it gives us this idea that though it seems we're not connected with those who have died and gone ahead, there's actually still a deep spiritual connection. We may not see the people that have been heroes to us or the people that we love, but in the communion of saints, and I always draw great comfort from that idea of the communion of saints, the living and the dead, in God, there is still a deep, deep connection.
Yeah, me too. I love the sense in this reading that we're part of this great multitude. And in a sense, the ones here on earth are actually a very, very small fraction of the multitude that's standing before the throne of God. And I love how this crosses the boundaries between here and heaven and between past and present and future. It's all sort of caught up in this song that we talked about. All those voices are joining in praise of God.
When I was a child, we used to sing a song. I can't even remember the tune of the song at the moment, but it would end, each of the verses would end with, and the saints of God are all the folk, and I aim to be one too. They're folk like me, and I aim to be one too.
Yeah, we often think of saints as historical figures who happen to be particularly holy, people who are the Mother Teresas of their generation. Or I think that's important to note, that there are a lot more saints than just those ones that we observe in our calendar. In a sense, everyone who has followed Jesus is a saint.
Well, I think it's important to note that when Paul writes to his various churches, he calls them saints. They are the saints of God. So the living people in the pews are the saints. I think I like to see it as, a kind of a journey metaphor, something that we already are, but we grow into what we already are. I often think of it as the metaphor is when I became a new Canadian and I swore my oath to support Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth and all her lawful successors. But at that moment that I know everything that I need to know about being Canadian or Canadian customs or the rhythms of Canadian life,
Well, you did take the test.
I did, but 20 years later, I'm still growing into my Canadianness. And I think it's the same with saint, right? You're baptized and you are a child of God, but you're going to spend your whole life deepening and deepening in this beautiful relationship with our loving God. One of the interesting exegetical things that I really appreciate about this is there's two multitudes in Revelation, and this is just an interesting point that I always like to come back to. One is a number where there's 144,000 people in heaven. The idea is that, they're from the 12 tribes of Israel, and there's about 12,000 each from each of the tribes. And in some sects of Christianity, there's been this idea, well, maybe that's the number of the people in heaven, 144,000. But there's a second number, which I always take great pleasure and more comfort in, and it's this first in verse 9, that this is a great multitude that no one can count. So obviously the 144,000 are serving a different purpose, but this is a tremendous group just beyond imagination. And I love that vision.
I like that bit better, because otherwise I have to be thinking, okay, what do I have to do to squeeze one of those 144,000 out so there's a space for me when the time comes?
That's right. It's already too late. There's the number is full.
Yeah. I really get a sense for the contrast, because that first, or a sense for those two multitudes in the contrast, because the first one you talked about is actually comes just before this passage. And yeah, you're feeling all this anxiety. Well, how do I get into that? But then the next verse, it says, after this, I looked and there was this great multitude that no one could count. You realize, God is not restrictive and stingy about sainthood in a sense.
Well, I think God wants this everybody.
This is a sense of great, great abundance of the whole human family gathered before God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing that often strikes me about this reading, and it's interesting, it's this question of suffering and faith. It actually came up in our morning prayer conversation this morning. We had two different juxtapositions. We were reading from Luke where it says, don't worry about what you'll eat or drink, just search for the kingdom of God and everything will be provided, which kind of gives one resonance as to how life will be. And then we also read from a different place in Revelation where it said, persecution's coming. This is a call for the endurance of the saints. And how do you put those two things together? Because there does seem to be this idea that part of walking in faith is knowing that there's going to be trials and tribulations in life, that that's just part of it. Now, I'm very grateful we're not persecuted like it is in this passage today. We're actually pretty comfortable here in Canada. But I think there's another truth that even though persecution doesn't happen, that doesn't mean necessarily that life is easy. And in fact, in COVID, we're experiencing this very deeply. Other things come up as well. And so we still walk forward in faith, even though we're not necessarily part of this generation of persecution.
I have to believe that the people who were Christians at the time when this book of Revelation was written would have heard this as a great comfort as they were enduring a lot of really horrible things, that the sense that your life that you live on earth is not completed here, it's completed in heaven. So if things aren't resolved and if things are really difficult, you need to endure and remain faithful so that, you know, and then there's more coming. This isn't all there is.
And one of the things we took the reading from Luke today, this idea that the kingdom of God, search first for the kingdom of God, everything will be provided to you. The you is a y'all, not a you personally. So the idea is that we don't do this alone. We're supporting one another. You know, if some of us has goods and others of us are really struggling, the idea is that we share with one another, we walk with one another, we pray for one another, we support for one another. And of course, it's not just for our little club, the church. We give that to whoever we find in the world. Like, we're called to be a blessing.
And I think All Saints Day reminds us that that community of support is not just the ones that show up in our physical church building or on our Zoom screen on Sunday morning. It's all the saints who have gone before as part of that gathering of support and furthering the work of God and completing all that we need.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. But I did pick up after our conversation about your Canadian-ness, y'all. Is that something?
Well, it's interesting. I appreciate you asking that, because one of the things I often joke about is being a Texan helps me to read the Bible better, because I'm sensitive to that idea that sometimes Jesus is not talking to me personally, but he's talking as a you, but a y'all, that all of us together. And sometimes we make it a little too individualistic. So anyway, it is a...
Yeah, and it's a poverty from modern English that we don't have a plural you. So if somebody invents one, it'll probably help us a lot with our theology.
Or you could go back to the King James. They had a ye. So whenever there was a ye, you knew that was also a y'all. Anyway, that might be an odd note to wrap up on as we come to the end of our podcast. But I do wonder, you know, as always, we look not just what does the scripture say, but what does it say to us? And maybe not the scripture, but all saints as well. What do you take for this coming week that might help us walk through this time of COVID?
For me, it's all about companionship. It's the fact that even though I sit... In many ways isolated. I mean, I have a partner, and we're more or less isolated together. It's a reminder that we are a part of something much greater than what we can even see. Even if we were able to go out and be totally free, it's just there are so many, many more. And the fact that the saints that we recognize, they go back hundreds and thousands of years. You know, one of my favorite saints is Saint Cecilia, the patron saint of music, who lived in 200. She was born around the year 200. My goodness, she was recognized for something that I value, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate you bringing up a favorite saint. That's what I wanted to do. I want to talk about two of my favorite saints. I'm definitely a big believer that sometimes you can't just read about something. You have to have somebody model it for you to see what, you know, all the virtues are of, you know, courage or faithfulness. Sometimes it just makes such an impact. And some of them are people who have impacted my life. But the two I reflect on go back to the medieval world. And it's because they're such opposites. And I really feel that both of them are needed for me. So the one is St. Thomas Aquinas, because I'm a very intellectual person. I will not deny that. It's just who I am. And he did such a brilliant job of trying to negotiate both the truths of the Christian faith and the ancient Greek pagan philosophies and find a way to integrate them into a systematic whole. And I find that beautiful. But so that I don't live always in that world, that I have to break out of myself, I also love St. Francis, who is an anti-intellectual in the world, serving people, loving people, just being joyful, loving nature. And so for me, I hold those two together to help me live a bit of a fuller life. And so the question I ask people, so who are the saints who have spoken to you? Because that will probably say something about yourself and what you're trying to accomplish with your life.
Yeah, one of the reasons I love All Saints Day so much is that we get to sing that great hymn for all the saints, speaking of music. And every All Saints Day, I find a just rousing choral version of it. And if I'm driving somewhere, I turn it up and I sing at the top of my lungs for all the saints. And my best, one of my favorite for all the saints moments was, I don't know if you remember, I think it was for the 100th anniversary of our diocese. Was that like 8 or 10 years ago or whatever? We had this big diocesan-wide service at the Winspear Center Concert Hall, and everybody was singing, and we actually had more instruments, of course, than normally you would on a Sunday. There's this verse in the middle. Yeah, it says, "And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song." And as we were singing this, the music had kind of gotten quiet. And then there was this very faint 5 or 6 notes of a trumpet that cut in on that point. And it sounded like it was joining that song from another world. And for me, that's what All Saints Day is. It's that little trumpet that cuts in and says, you know what? Things may be really horrible right now. You may be going through things that are just awful and really, really difficult. But All Saints Day says, you know what, there's something more. There's realities that going on that we don't understand. And we need to be reminded that this is our hope and our future as well. And it gives us strength and hope.
That's beautiful. So I hear a joint theme of bigger realities and lots of music. So that's wonderful. Well, thank you, everyone, so much for listening to our podcast. We really enjoy making them. We would love to hear your thoughts about saints. Do you have a favorite saint? Do you have a favorite hymn? Anyway, you can put your comments, RevSteveLondon@gmail.com, or put them on the website. Until next week, we will see you later.
See you later.
Take care.